Welcome to the second call on week 5 of Shifting into Purer Consciousness Ascension Training Telesummit. I'm your host, Yvonne Perry. I'm the author of Shifting into Purer Consciousness, Integrating Spiritual Transformation with the Human Experience. This telesummit is hosted by Live Spirit Community, founded by Dr. Karen Good. She is the author of Raising Intuitive Children and Kids Who See Ghosts, Guide Them Through Fear. Live Spirit is a learning center for intuitive and empathic people who wish to step forward on their spiritual path. These calls are being recorded. Free replays of each program will be available for 48 hours after each call. After that, they'll be available to anyone who wishes to purchase them. So please visit livespirit.com, that's LIVE-SPIRIT.com, to access this special offer and find other tools and teaching to help you as you evolve on your spiritual path. There are going to be two panelists on today's call. The first will be given by Lisa Barnett, who will walk us through a beautiful prayer for clearing and erasing karma through forgiveness. Let's set our intention and expect to clear karma for ourselves and the collective as Lisa brings her message. And at 2:35, our second panelist, astrologer Rick DiClemente, will share insight about the planetary and astrological alignment for December 21st, 2012. Let's begin now by introducing our first panelist. Lisa Barnett is an internationally known teacher and consultant of the Akashic Records, your soul's library. Founder of the Akashic Knowing and a clear channel of the Akashic Record, Lisa brings more than 15 years of spiritual counseling and energetic healing to her clients and students. She incorporates information from your soul's library with energy healing, plus healing gifts and prayers from the masters of the Akashic Record to help people break through blocks, clear karma, pain, and fear to create the life their heart and soul truly desires. You can take a journey into the Akashic Record with a free meditation at akashicknowing.com. Welcome to the call, Lisa Barnett.
Thank you so much, Yvonne. I am really thrilled to be here and get to share some of this ancient wisdom and modern-day information with all of all the people on the call. So thank you for having me.
It's a privilege. You have about 25 minutes, so just take off.
Great. Thank you. So I'm just going to start by talking a little bit about the Akashic Records, just in case people haven't heard about them. The Akashic Records are the records of your soul. From the time your soul decided to individuate from Source until this present moment. So sometimes people think of the Akashic Records as all about your past lives. And of course, they're in your records because that's part of your journey. But everything from this present life is also in your record. So there is so much information, whether you had lifetimes on our beloved planet Earth, or maybe you spent a lot of time in the Pleiades, or maybe on the dog star, Sirius, or some people feel like they spent time out there on other planets. We've been everything in different dimensions, from angels to elves to just really wonderful energetic souls that have helped to guide guide others on their path. And so everyone's Akashic Record is very, very vast. When I open the records for a client, it feels like standing on the edge of infinity. It's this beautiful, profound, infinite, feeling. And in those records, we can access whatever information is going to serve you at that moment. So when we work with this energy, we bring questions, because our records are so vast, we bring specific questions to the beings that keep our records. Our records are kept by lords and masters and teachers, and they devote their energy, their lives, to keeping each one of your records. So each person has their very own set of guides, their very own set of teachers and masters and lords that keep their records. So when we access our personal Akashic record, we're actually speaking to the beings that have held our records for us for time immemorial. So they're pure divine energy. They are unconditional love. So just by going into our own records, we receive profound healing. And they have given us very, you know, quite a few ways to help ourselves and to help mankind. And one of the ways they have given us to help ourselves is the forgiveness prayer. There's quite a few different forgiveness prayers, but they have given us some beautiful, simple forgiveness prayers. And what the Lords of the Akashic Records tell us is that one of the highest things that we can do in our life is to forgive others for any ways that they have hurt us, to forgive ourselves for hurting others, whether we did it consciously or unconsciously, and also to forgive ourselves for all the transgressions that we have against ourselves. So how often are we really hard on ourselves, kind of beating ourselves up, telling ourselves that we weren't fast enough or smart enough or we didn't do a good job or we're, you know, not pretty enough or handsome enough or in good enough health. Whatever we may tell ourselves, we're really sending negative energy to our own soul. And so it's also important for us to forgive ourselves for all of that. And as we work and move into a state of forgiveness, we're clearing old energy constrictions, kind of like old energy buildup that's in our energetic field, that's in our bodies, our chakra system, our energetic channels, our auras. So all of that upset and anger and hate and that all has to do with our lack of forgiveness, that affects us on a really energetic and consequently on a very physical level. So one of the things that our Lords tell me is that often dis-ease, different forms of disease in our bodies, come from our lack of forgiveness. And so I'm sure so many people have heard and know that when we're angry or we hate someone, we're really poisoning our own selves. That person very often doesn't even know that you hate them or you're angry with them or that you never want to speak to them again because you're not speaking to them. And all of that gets turned inward. And it really upsets and imbalances our energetic body, which eventually affects our physical body. So as we do that, we can be really poisoning, creating a very toxic field, an energetic field in our physical bodies. And so then sometimes we find that we're sick. Our bodies are out of balance. Our pH is off. We're, you know, having stomach issues or heart pains or different sorts of physical level problems. And in the extreme, these can turn into cancers, ways where our body just has turned against itself because our body doesn't really know the difference. It's taking that anger that you may have for someone else, that hatred that maybe you have for someone who was maybe absolutely terrible and abusive and deserves it on one hand, but the body thinks it's aimed at itself. And so the body is reacting, and it's turning on itself because that's what it believes is happening within its kind of microcosm. And so what the Lords of the Records tell us that the highest and best thing we can do to move forward in the world and on our soul path is to be in forgiveness. So when we create, when something happens, something, say, is very, very, what we could call terrible in our lives. I know many, many people who have had very abusive parents. They may have been emotionally abused. You may have been physically abused. There's a lot of trauma in the world. One of the things that the Masters want to remind us is that our soul often chose to finish and clear karma, finish contracts, and help to bring the light to those people. So we really, there's a part of our soul, that really big part of our soul, that chooses these lives because the soul knows how powerful it is. You are very tremendous, big, beautiful, bright, shining lights. You are all huge souls with infinite wisdom that have been traveling throughout time and space for eons. You are not this little body. You are not this little person. You are an infinite and infinitely wise being. So that part of you that knows the truth of that, that soul, when that part of your soul decided to come into a physical body again, that soul decided to make some contracts. Sorry. So every soul creates contracts. And so we say, okay, I'm ready to finish that karma. I'm ready to complete the problem I have with this other soul. I'm ready to bring an end to the fighting or the disagreements. Maybe we were warriors together. Or sometimes in a past life, maybe I was abusive as a parent. And in this lifetime, I chose to, again, incarnate with that parent and take the opposite role. Because as a soul, we choose to do it all. We do the good, we do the bad. It's a variety of gray. It's not black and white. So as a soul, we say, okay, so I was on one end of the spectrum. I was not a very nice mother. I realize where I went wrong. And what I'll do is I will help this parent. This parent maybe says, okay, so I'll return that energy of negative parenting to you. And you can remind me of the truth of who we are. You can help remind me that we are infinite divine souls. You can remind me that we are unconditional love and light. And so as a soul, we come in to heal that karma. We come in to change that paradigm. So even though I make a contract to come in and be a child in an abusive family, my soul's desire is to change that energy by being able to understand who I am, maybe to see that parent and help to guide them in some way into a place where they can understand and see what they're doing is hurtful and harmful, not only to you but to the whole family and to themselves. So as a big soul, we choose to hold this very spacious and healing energy, but then we come into these little bodies and we forget. So it's very challenging when these big souls wake up as little babies and we have no memory of all those soul contracts that we created. So we've come to heal some karma. We've come to be the light. We've come to finish an old contract with a parent or another soul. And then it takes us some time very often to remember and to come into a place where we can heal that karma. And so we may go through an abusive childhood, which is traumatic and painful and very sad. But as we grow up, we start to realize the truth of who we are, that we truly are divine beings. And if we can get that glimpse, if you can just even hear and breathe that in and know that truth for yourself, I am divine. I am pure, unconditional light and love. And remember that and feel that in your heart as you allow your heart to open and expand. And you can remember and know the truth that as you let go of the anger and the hurt, as you can allow yourself to see whoever or whatever it was that has hurt you in the past, remember that this can be completely completed right here and right now. As you know the truth of unconditional love and light of who you are and who they actually are too. So even though that person or those people have not been able to remember and express the divine soul that they are, when you forgive, you bring that karma to completion. You do not ever need to be with that person again. You do not need to ever contact them again. But when you can truly release the energy and forgive in your heart, your karma is complete. They can do what they choose, but your karma is complete. And so often when we complete our karma with a person, it frees them up to regain some of their old energy, possibly to get a glimpse of who they truly are as spirit and light and unconditional love. Sometimes people wake up and they find that they're actually called on a spiritual path. So someone who may have lived a not very nice, life in the past wakes up one day and realizes, oh, I'm bigger than this. I'm a divine soul. And so there can be a chain reaction by you clearing karma, by you allowing yourself to be the forgiveness that you are, clearing the karma for yourself. It frees them up to clear theirs, and that may flow through you don't even know how many people. It may flow through other family members and soul families. So your forgiveness can have a beautiful chain reaction. And so when you allow yourself to be the forgiveness that you are helping to heal the planet. It's really, really huge. So just take a breath in and feel that. You are one with Divine Source. You are able to heal yourself, your soul family, whoever it was who has hurt you in the past. And that ripples out through the world. And as each and every person does that, it has a phenomenal effect, not only on the people that you know, but on people all over the world, and eventually on the earth herself. Our Mother Earth is an aware, sentient being who is working on her own forgiveness, clearing, and moving into a high vibration of awakening. And so as we awaken for ourselves, as we be the light and the love for ourselves and our community, we are helping to ground that energy into our Mother Earth and helping her to awaken also. So what I receive about this beautiful year of 2012 is that is the energy that we are creating through clearing karma, through forgiveness, through pure unconditional love and light, through knowing who we truly are, being the divine souls that we truly are. We are allowing ourselves and the earth and all of humanity to awaken, to remember that we are divine, unified beings. That there is no me and you, there is only we. And so what I would like to do is to lead you in a forgiveness prayer. And so I will say it slowly, kind of sentence by sentence. And if you can repeat it out loud, that's beautiful. Or it's all right to repeat it silently if that's what works. If you're in a more public place and you just like to repeat it silently, that's just fine. And so we'll just do this group healing and clearing using this forgiveness prayer, just dropping into your heart, knowing that as you forgive anyone or anything that has hurt you in the past, you do not even need to think about the person. It could be from this lifetime. It could be from yesterday or your childhood. It might have been a parent or a sibling. It could have been a boss that was mean to you. It could have been a teacher who really hurt you and lowered your self-esteem, or it could come from a past life, and you don't need to know. The great gift about doing this work in the Akashic field is that you do not even need to know who or what you're forgiving. So with great grace and ease, we can do this work for ourselves and the planet. So just take a deep breath. Oh, allow yourselves to drop into your hearts and repeat after me. Divine Spirit Source, please help me to forgive anyone or anything that has hurt me in the past. From the beginning of time until this moment, whether they realized they have hurt me or not, I forgive and release them of any obligation they may have with me. Divine Spirit Source, please help me to forgive myself for any hurt that I have caused in the past. Divine Spirit Source, please help me to forgive myself for any hurt that I have caused in the past. From the beginning of time until this moment. From the beginning of time until this moment. Whether conscious or accidental, whether conscious or accidental, to myself or to someone else, to myself or to someone else, I ask forgiveness and release them of any obligation we may have together. I ask forgiveness and release them of any obligation we may have together. So just allow yourself to breathe into that, allowing your heart to open and expand out into the infinite. You may feel the energy open and shift. You may see light coming into your body as you release old contractions and pain. And so just breathing deeply, coming back present in this moment, knowing that this is the truth, that you have released a chunk of old karma for yourself and for others, for the world. So thank you so much for doing that work. It is very profound. And so I do just want to talk about a couple of other things. There is a free meditation on my website which leads you into the Akashic Records on a guided journey. And in that journey, there is a river of forgiveness also. So if you are called to journey into your Akashic Records, to receive some beautiful gifts in the records, and to bathe in the river of forgiveness even more and deeply, please go to my website and download that meditation for yourself. So that is akashicknowing.com, and Akashic is spelled A-K-A-S-H-I-C, and then knowing.com. So that is a very useful and helpful meditation also. And I do guide and help people daily through consultations. And so if you are called to learn to go to work deeply in your records, I help people by giving them consultations. In a consultation, you could ask all the questions that are kind of plaguing your soul. Many times we have more questions. What's my next step? Am I on my soul path? What else can I know that will be really useful so that I can be in alignment in this 2012 energy? Am I with my soul family? So there is many, many very deep and profound questions that we can ask in the Akashic Records that can help and heal and guide our lives so that we can jump forward with this great energy that is happening on the planet, these new vibrations that are raising. And so you can take advantage of really creating the life that you desire to create. So whatever those issues are that may be holding you back, sometimes it's really about money and abundance. Sometimes it's still about anger, frustration, or emotional pain. Many people are suffering and struggling with childhood pain. And again, it can come from some sort of trauma or drama in our lives. And in the Akashic field, we can find out so many different layers and reasons for these issues, for the emotional pain, why we may have chosen a family, and why do we feel different? Why do I feel like I don't even maybe belong to this family that I live with? Or how come I'm having a hard time finding my soulmate? So all of these questions there's answers to all of these questions in your Akashic record, in your Akashic field. Because these records are kept from the time you individuated from Source, and the vibration is so pure and so high that just by being in the records, you receive a healing. So when I do a consultation with you, I erase all of the old pain and trauma that may be holding you back and making you feel stuck. We can look at those soul paths and those next steps. And certainly, if you are ready to do deep forgiveness and clearing more karma that may be connected to numerous past lives or other information you desire, we can go forward and do that. And I teach people to do this work also, because what the Lords have told us is that the time is now to help everyone to reclaim their own divine wisdom. So if you're ready to be divinely guided every day, if you're ready to talk to your Lords and Masters of your Akashic Records so you know what you're supposed to do today, how can I be of service today? What can I do to be on my soul path right here and right now? Then learning to access your own records is very profound. Mm-hmm. I do teach a teleseminar also, and so there will be one starting in September. So I hope if you're interested, you'll go to my website and get some more information on that. And so just to kind of close up my time, I would like to just have everyone again dropping back into their hearts, the Lords of this group, of this beautiful group that are hearing this telesummit today. They're just asking you to breathe and allow the Lords to uplift and bring to completion some of the old energy and trauma that is still held in your system that is constricting or holding you back. So I'm just going to take a moment and help to clear and release that for you as a group. You need do nothing else but to breathe, stay in your heart, and you may see an old blanket lifting off of your body, or you may feel some energy shifting and lifting. You may feel yourself able to breathe a little bit easier. You may feel lighter. Oh, and so just allowing the great light to come in and expand through your body, through your heart and through the physical layers of your body, out into your auric field, bringing into you the highest and best Akashic Record information that you can now hold. Breathing that in and grounding it into the physical. That feels beautiful. Everybody is doing such an amazing job of just healing themselves, letting this Akashic energy heal their souls. Untie the knots. Open your hearts. And so just let yourself notice the lightness, the new light, beautiful, golden, sparkly Akashic information that's coming into your bodies now. Oh, and breathing that in and grounding that in. I give great, great thanks of the Lords of the Akashic Records for the healing that they have given us today. And so it is. Thank you.
And so it is. Beautiful, Lisa. Thank you so much. That was very uplifting. I could feel the calm peacefulness as you were speaking and leading us into that. Just the peacefulness in this group, even. I feel like there's, you know, it sounds so simple what you walked us through, but these are times when it is easy. We're living in this age of grace. When it is easy to just make a conscious choice and know that we are supported by our higher guidance and those who walk with us in spirit and in light to do these kind of phenomenal changes on an energetic level. So thank you so much for doing
that. Yes, it is. My pleasure. Thank you. It's a great gift to be able to share this profound work with your group. So thank you, Yvonne.
Thank you again. Well, I invite everyone to take a journey into the Akashic Record and get that free meditation that Lisa was talking about at akashicknowing.com. Please go there and take advantage of that free gift. Now, next, we're going to be having Rick DiClemente. Rick has practiced astrology for 35 years, and he's presented numerous lectures, classes, and workshops on that topic. He's known as a way shower. He blends math and science and spiritual psychic ability with empirical knowledge in order to reveal the multifaceted story in each person's chart. Rick's intuitive astrological readings are like a sit-down with a trusted friend who has your ultimate best interest at heart. At the same time, he brings alive the applied discipline of consulting with the cosmos for timeless wisdom that helps others better understand themselves, their relationships, and their lives. You'll find Rick on live at starself.com. That's starself.com. Welcome to the call, Rick DiClemente.
Hi, Yvonne. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. It's a privilege. We're going to allow you to take about 25 minutes and share with us what's in store for us as the planets are lining up for something big this year.
Oh, boy, it's such a big story. the big thing that's happening now is that on the ground level, on the public level, the planet Pluto and Uranus are at a right angle to each other. And these two planets are having it out pretty good, and I think that's pretty evident with the politics and the unrest in the country. And the Pluto-Uranus square that's going on now is in direct relationship to when Pluto and Uranus were initially together from 1961 through 69, and that's what gave us the 60s, the revolution. Well, when two planets are together, eventually they open up to a right angle. They're at a right angle to each other. And all these years, those two planets have been traveling and separating, and in the past month or so, they've been at a right angle. They will be at a right angle six more times in the next 2 years. And that's what's causing us to have the throwback into the 60s. When these two planets square each other, they ask the question, how have we done with our promises that we set in 1963 and 64? How have we done with women's rights and with the racial rights and you can see that we're revisiting all these subjects again, and we can see it's kind of like our report card time. We're not doing very well. And on the other hand, you're seeing a lot of grassroots campaigns, and people are gathering their own power, and they're not trying to not depend on the government anymore, trying to help each other out. So that leads me to talk about Neptune and Chiron, which is really what this subject's all about today. Neptune has been in the sign of Pisces for the past couple of years, and Neptune rules Pisces. So Neptune is very strong out of the sign of Pisces, even though both Neptune and Pisces are very cloudy and wistful and somewhat unseen, taken for granted. These two planets together are extremely powerful. And the really unique thing is that Chiron is with Neptune also. Chiron is rather new to most people. It's spelled C-H-I-R-O-N, and you'll notice the same prefix with chiropractor. Chiron is like an asteroid, but he's not in the asteroid field, which is between Mars and Saturn. He's between Saturn and Uranus, and that belt is called the Centaurs. So initially when they discovered in 1977 in November, when they discovered the Centaur called Chiron, they initially aligned it with the sign of Sagittarius, since they're both Centaurs. But we soon found out that Chiron really does not have much to do with Sagittarius. In my new book, I'm thoroughly convinced that Chiron lines up perfectly with the sign of Virgo. Well, I'll make a long story short. Chiron was wounded in mythology by an arrow into the back of his leg, and he was never able to heal. And so he symbolizes the part of us that is our wound, where we can help others, but we can't help ourselves. Now, interesting enough, when Chiron returns to its original spot, around age 51, that wound becomes bigger or it gets solved. And the reason I said that today is I happen to notice that our president, Obama, is going through his Chiron return at this time. Chiron represents many, many things. It's very hard to figure out. There's a lot to it. And in many ways, I think it's even stronger than Pluto and Uranus. It represents healing. It represents the wound and the wound being healed and how the gift of the healing is contained within the wound. Well, when I look in a birth chart, I can look at Chiron in your chart and I can see where your wound is likely to be. And when today's planets hit those spots, I can see your wound gets agitated or exacerbated. But what's really unusual, here they are traveling together, Chiron and Neptune, together the past 3-4 years, and they're both in Pisces. This is astounding, and I had predicted this several years ago because Neptune's basic nature is to be Piscean-like, Christ-like, selfless-like, lower your guard, don't fight, see everybody as oneness in one family. And this will be in the sign of Pisces for another 12 years or so. Chiron joined up with it at the same time. And Chiron is all about healing and taking almost like your destiny, like we've got to do something about this. Chiron in people's charts, I have found, is a force that you're obsessed with. You have to do what your Chiron says. And Chiron is extremely strategically located in people's charts who are healers. This is where your healing comes from, whether it's verbal healing, love healing, astrology healing, psychological healing, massage, whatever it is. My clients with strong Chirons are very talented at healing. So this is what came to us in the last 3 years. It came to us in the form and through the personage of Obama. But Obama may not even know he's the carrier of such a universal message. But what these two planets have done, they have said to us and to the whole planet, you are going to have health care for everybody. You are not going to You are not going to be allowed to prosper. You are not going to be able to move one foot forward until you can take care of your weak. You can feed, you're hungry. We are in this together. And this is another reason of the revolution. Now, I'm going to skip around a little bit because I don't have much time. I'll come back to that. But when I first heard of all this talk of the ascension in 2012 and the Mayan calendar, I've been around since 78, so I've heard a lot of these things. I poo-pooed a lot of it because I've heard so much of it. And people gave me the date of December 21st, 2012, and I didn't see anything particular. And I thought it was rather rare that we're having this monumental event on the Earth, and the chart looks rather blasé. But about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, somehow somebody came up with the birth time. And in astrology, the birth time is golden. And I got the birth time that this 12-21-12 would be happening at 11-11-11 Greenwich Mean Time. Well, when I rotated the chart to that time, lo and behold, right on the ascendant, there was Chiron and Neptune. That blew my mind and told me for sure it validated the entire era that we've been talking about. Funny how, when I started to write my book, The Exquisite Zodiac, I started it during that time in February of 09 when Chiron and Neptune were together, and that was the time when Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth became mushrooming throughout the world, and he went on the show with Oprah Winfrey, broadcasting that book to millions and millions of people for free. And in other words, that was the time in 09 for us to realize that spirit is here. God is here. He is interacting with us now. The great masters are here. They know we're in trouble. And they are turning on the light workers like switches. And I mean it just like I said it would be. 3-4 years ago, people complained about their job. They wanted another job. Now, 9 out of 10 clients that come see me now, they want to quit their job and they want to become a healer. And they don't even care why. And I'm just seeing a fanatical number of people that just are really feeling this Neptune now, which has really been strong the past couple of months. And you must remember that the Neptune and Chiron are very subtle forces, and they're being covered up and eclipsed by the angry, loud, harsh voices of Pluto and Uranus, which are in Aries and Capricorn. So that's what people are feeling. This also explains why last summer or a couple of summers ago, you must be aware of this, many, many, many people were going through dizzy spells a couple of summers ago. I know lots of people that rushed to the hospital with dizzy spells, and people kept telling me it's not dizziness, it's really this talk of the higher dimension and the ascension beginning and Neptune opening up these higher chakras at the top of your head, the seventh chakra. So putting it all together, when I started to put the book out and the book was finished in December of 2011, I tried to get the book released on Amazon, and it didn't work. I think Mercury had just gone direct. I tried to get it another time to launch it. It wouldn't work. And when it finally went out, I marked down the time. I did the chart for that moment, and there was Neptune and Chiron at the top of the chart. So Neptune and Chiron has written this book. Neptune and Chiron is what's got you your show. It's what's got us aroused. It's the voice that's saying to us now, and I never could fit it together until I heard somebody say, and I think they're exactly right. The Mayan calendar, there's a lot of misinformation about it. The Mayan calendar is the end of the Earth's youth. And I think they're exactly right. It is the end of the playground. And the planets are showing us now, slapping us in the face in every way, redefining everything, that we cannot keep living a material life. We have got to shift to a spiritual life like you're doing, wonderful programs like yours and the lady I just heard before me, and so many websites, and every day I'm getting new mail messages from people hanging out new shingles. Every day people are becoming light workers, and they're becoming astrologers and masseuse, and, you know, they're becoming, every other person you look at is a Reiki master. So we have these two forces that are really colliding, Uranus and Pluto, and they're not pretty, and everybody can see what that's about. And that's going to cause the U.S. and the rest of the world to redefine what we really are. And Neptune and Chiron, they are lending a hand. They are, I believe, to repeat myself, I believe that the masters have come down. They're speaking to us now. The channeling is going on in a higher dimension. People are open. When Neptune gets active, Neptune's in everybody's chart. Neptune opens up your psychic ability. It opens up your channel to God, to the divine, whatever. And I can't even begin to tell you what's happened to my career. It's like God just sends one person after another to me, one person after another. And it's not the traditional old-fashioned astrology anymore. It's almost always anymore people come to see me. They're ready to launch. They're ready to let go of their old stuff, their old junk. And they're ready to fly, and all I do is confirm them and affirm them and help them with their launch. So that was a bit much for part one, don't you think?
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you.
Do you have a response? Well, I just thought I would stop there because you can go on 50 different tributaries, and I thought I'd give you a chance to respond to what you may have heard.
So as far as 2012, do you have any predictions as to what December might bring? I mean, we've got a lot of things showing that something big is up, but do you have any personal?
Well, I think that it's an abuse of astrology to look for concrete predictions. But however there will be, like the wonderful astrologer Richard Tarnas says, astrology does not rule physical outcomes; it rules archetypal outcomes. Mm-hmm. So, for the longest time, we've been hypnotized by people like, you know, the president's astrologer, and people like Joan Quigley. We've become too glued to what's going to happen, how it's going to manifest. Mm-hmm. And astrology is not physically predictable. It's archetypally predictable. What that means is you are going to see people giving up their physical. They're going to be getting rid of their houses. They're going to be getting rid of their stuff. They're going to be starting to live simpler. They're going to be joining more groups like A Course in Miracles. They're going to be reacting against organized religion and for truly spiritual experiences. So it's not one thing per se. Neptune does rule things like the oceans and fracking and oil and all that. So you're going to continue to see that shifting badly. You're also can see how Pluto, Uranus, and Neptune rule things like climate change, and I don't have to spell that out for you, how vivid that is. But what it is showing us is we can no longer continue on this mentality of I've got yours, you go get yours. It will not work. One of our parties is falling apart just because of that theme. And we're not only being forced into it, we're starting to see the light, which is if we work together, it's best for all of us.
Yep.
So that's what you're going to really see.
And we're already seeing
exactly
a lot of that.
Right.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that already
goodness.
Happen. The pattern is already there.
Oh, I was on the radio in 82 through 84. I had my own show. And I would explain these principles, and people would look at me like I was from Mars, you know, they didn't understand this. And I cannot tell you the difference in people in the last 5 years. The last 2 years, my clients are so much smarter. They get with it. When I tell them things now, you create your own reality. They understand that now. They used to think I was crazy. My next book's going to be really intriguing because it's going to be called The Intimate Zodiac. And I plan on showing how you have direct relationship to what you create. And that God, symbolized by the planets, is really intimately involved right in the center of you. It's not some far-out planet out there. It's very intimate. So it's all coming together. And I had written a lot in the past couple years. On January 14th of 2011, I was knocked flat by an eclipse that happened on January 4th. And that were, you will recall, that was the time when people freaked out about the 13th planet. Oh, you're not the same sun sign anymore. And they went into all this. Well, I wrote a newsletter, which is free on my website, on my archives, which is February archive of 2011. And it explained how the people got confused about this 13th sign. And once I did my research, I found out that what had happened was the two of the planets, Jupiter and Uranus, had returned back to the same spot that they were in 1927 when Einstein and Schrodinger and all the famous physicists came out of their seminar, whatever you call it, in Belgium, and they pretty much said the fact that Einstein's theories are pretty much dead. We're now going to be going on a quantum world, a quantum viewpoint. And so when the planets came back around after 1927, back in 2011, back to the same position, that's when it struck me, and I knew immediately we were now in the quantum age. We've been in the quantum age for about a year and a half now. And I also grok that we are no longer in the age of the energy. That's the only word you heard for the last 20 years. Energy, good energy, bad energy, similar energy. We're now, it's still valid, but we're now in the age of the intent and thought. And I really believe that that's the new paradigm is energy, thought, and quantum. And because of that, Yvonne, I think we're going to be able to expedite ourselves through these massive changes that we're facing. You can already look back the past couple of years and just see phenomenal growth. You know, that's where the lid came off. The lid came off from really who started prying the lid off was the beatniks in the late 50s and then the early hippies who they didn't know exactly why, but they knew the way of the world was not the way.
Yeah.
And they started with Dylan and Ginsberg. They started to plant seeds, and everybody laughed at them. And now everybody's looking to them to be saviors. But the point is people are evolving at a rapid rate, and the lid came off when people got past their guilt and they dropped their organized religion. Delicate matter, family matter. But, you know, it's not an anti-God move. It's not an anti-Jesus move or anti-Jewish move. It's just the people want the direct experience of God. In the past, we were married to thinking that only our rabbi could have experience or only our priest could have experience. Well, people have seen through so many movies and television shows and books, people want their own experience, which is what the Buddha did and is what Christ did.
Right. Very interesting.
So it's a marvelous time. I see, to get to your point about 2012, I see it as a time where we are really being challenged right now by Neptune. We have been stripped naked, and a lot of us are failing. And what that means is a lot of the messages Mr. Obama has tried to bring to this country have been about lowering your guard and sharing with other people. And a lot of people can't handle that because we're a cancer country born on the 4th of July. They want us to keep our great big defense mechanisms up high so the cancer will be safe and secure. And Neptune is requiring you to be naked in front of God, saying, I don't need anything but my robe and my sandals. I saw a Facebook post today that said, you have the power of God. You don't need anything else. And that's really true. It's really true. And what God promised us is really happening. And that's what's marvelous. We're starting to see how when we let go, our lives work. And when we plan them out, they don't work. And when we plan them out, they bring us stress and failure, and everything tilts like a pinball machine. And when we let go and let God, like they say, everything starts to work.
Yeah, and that getting naked thing is very uncomfortable. I mean, it's stripping away everything that we're familiar with. It's taking away our comfort zone. And no wonder people are having a hard time with it, you know.
Yeah.
All of us, we're having, we feel like we're being
exposed.
Well, they're having
a hard time because, we are being exposed.
Yeah.
And we should be comfortable being exposed. Christ said, what did God say? Who told you you were naked?
Uh-huh.
What that means is that you have the figurative you. You have surrounded yourself with couches and computers and TVs and houses and noise and music. And when you take it away, what's left?
Mm.
And that's why so many people are forlorn now. And those people are not going to do very well through the 2012 transition. And the people who, like your listeners, who are simplifying their lives and they're maximizing their spiritual value and they're maximizing their spiritual relationships, or else they're getting divorced. They don't want to carry that. I have a newsletter out right now that they're all free on my website. It's all about how we're no longer in the Ozzie and Harriet age of relationships. You last 50 years and that's a great marriage. Well, that's not how it is anymore. It's God sends you messages through the planets. Neptune comes into your life, it brings you a Pisces. If Uranus comes into your life, it brings you an Aquarian to teach you these lessons. And when the relating is over, the relationship stops. So surely people can continue to have successful relationships. But oftentimes what's happening now, the relationship is over, and people just aren't willing to play the game anymore to keep acting like it's together. It's unfortunate that the children get involved.
It is. But that's just part of the scripture
like
way as well.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes. And I would like to mention my new book, because I think it's very important that people read it. It's called The Exquisite Zodiac, and it can be purchased at the same name, theexquisitezodiac.com. It's available on Kindle through Amazon, and the reason I'm pushing this book, because it was really written by Chiron and Neptune, this tells you what an Aries is like, not what the books have told you, these adjectives. This tells you why they do what they do, why the Taurus does what he does, why the Gemini does what he does, and it sews all 12 signs together, and you see the ascension of the soul going through the 12 stages. And it's getting good reviews, and I encourage your readers to pick up a copy because it'll have them look at themselves differently than what they did back in Linda Goodman's Sun Signs, when you just saw yourself as a sun sign. But to wrap up, Yvonne, the 2012 is a marvelous time. It's going to be very hard for some people. A lot of the deception that you're seeing right now is the shadow side of Neptune. It's people not using the Neptune energy right. The people who are using it right are going to meditation class, and they're going to Course in Miracles, and they're reading spiritual books, and they're tuning in to shows like yours, and they're learning and working on their chakras. These things used to be far out. Well, they're not far out now. They're mainstream, thanks to the people of the early 60s. And I just hope and wish you the best to keep pushing what you do and pushing what I do. And I think it's an exciting, wonderful time. And if you have friends who aren't getting with it, you got to get the message to them somehow, because the universe is just going to keep on moving and leaving them behind, I fear.
Mm.
That's
well,
what
think...
Eckhart Tolle said. Tolle said it in his A New Earth. He said, evolve or die.
Mm. Well, I
that's the way it
that every one of us is on our path and continuing to move in that direction. So I'm with you on that, that we are expecting some great things. I don't see a doomsday for those who are really on their path and, like you said, willing to give up all the stuff
That's
and
right.
things that we're hiding behind and really become our authentic and true selves. Like you said, what else is left when it's all
yeah.
gone? Well, you still got yourself and you still got God, and that's one.
That's right. May I say two more things about your path?
Okay.
One, I do these workshops because everybody wants to know when they're on their path. When I do these workshops and I have people's charts in front of me, 60% of the people I talk to that want to know their path, they can't find their path if it's in front of their nose because they're blocked. They're emotionally blocked by parental stuff, childhood stuff, emotional stuff. So I work with them to get unblocked. Then the next time they come, they can see their path pretty clearly. It's not that hard. The other 40%, they don't have the blockages, and they just need a little bit of encouragement. And what you're really seeing today is marvelous. I have a good friend who jumped ship. She didn't know how she was going to do it. She got out of a bad marriage. She moved in with her daughter, and they moved in with her sister, and she's putting two and two together just to make it through. And that kind of liberation shows faith. Those are the people that are going to make it through. Those are the people that are going to be supported. And the ones that keep hanging on, by definition, are not flowing. And so, therefore, I just wanted to encourage your listeners, you know, read a lot about it. It's all out there now. The more you let go, the more you're going to fly and soar. And thank God we've got shows like yours that put people like me and these others on so we can share our little tidbits.
Well, that's what it's all about, oneness and community-mindedness. Thank you so much, Rick, for sharing
yes,
with us today.
Sure.
We appreciate
right.
having you.
You are welcome, and I really enjoy it. Thanks to your whole crowd.
And thank you, everyone who has listened today. You will get the replay link and go out there if you would like to have these so that you can share them with other people and help them to understand what's going on. A lot of things have been said in this conference that you may not have heard in other places, and we want to give you the opportunity to have these to share with others. We're going to continue to do these calls like this on Thursdays at 2 p.m. So if you're signed up for the list, you'll get a reminder about that and how you can participate each week. And we're just going to do some more conversations and talk like this and open it up for question and answers for our listeners to be able to interact and participate on a more interactive level. So we look forward to that email. And for now, this concludes our 6-part Ascension Training, Shifting into Pure Consciousness. I'm Yvonne Perry saying thank you and have a wonderful day. Namaste.